Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Lauren Sherman, the writer behind Puck's Fashion and Beauty Memo line sheet. And I'd like to welcome you to my new show, Fashion People. On every episode of Fashion People, I'll be talking to insiders about the stuff we're all whispering between the press releases. From M&A rumors to celebrity stylist dish to the future of legacy media. Be sure to follow and listen to Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. I'm here in my closet recording, not as far, far away from my producer, Barry Finkel. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Matt. What are we doing on the show this week?
Today, we're going to kick things off with Worst Things First, where I chat about the stupidest, most ridiculous, worst news of the week. After that, we're diving deep into our collective mourning of summer. Because even though it feels like time has been suspended since March and we didn't really have a summer, apparently Mother Earth is like, sorry, bitch, we're still moving along to fall. And then we've got comedian and actor Esther Pavitsky on the pod. Esther created and starred in her own show, Alone Together. She played Maya on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Izzy on Dollface, and she's got a comedy special that's out right now on Comedy Central called Hot for My Name. She and Barry are also from the same area of the Chicago burbs, so we talk about that and so much more. But before we get into all that, Barry, how is your quarantine going this week?
Ugh, well, you know what? Usually when Putty sleeps in the bed on bath night, he'll like start snuggling and then go by our feet. But last night, he stayed in the little spoon position the entire night. And that's probably going to be like the happiest I'll be in 2020. So how about you? What's going on?
The bar is low.
It's so low.
Yeah, nothing exciting. I mean, I like finally am all moved in.
Yay!
All of my boxes are unpacked. I have my little office and studio set up. My oven still hasn't exploded. I'll take all of these as wins.
Oh, look at that. Look, we're starting this week so high.
How great. How great are we? Everything is so peachy. It's almost like the world isn't literally on fire.
Yay!
Anyway, so let's get into today's episode. Let's do it. Let's start the show. All right, worst things first. Let's talk about the worst news of the week. First, Chuck E. Cheese, run by the illustrious rock star slash entrepreneur Charles Entertainment Cheese, obviously. I don't think we give him enough credit for being both an entrepreneur, a restaurateur, and a rock star ahead of his own band.
Multi-hyphenate.
Yeah. This is a business man, okay? It's actually bad news for Mr. Cheese because, as we remember, Chuck E. Cheese filed for bankruptcy earlier this year, and now they're seeking to destroy more than 7 billion prize tickets that have piled up in its supply chain because of the pandemic. 7 billion tickets.
I feel like that still would like only get you a pencil.
Right. That's still tier one prizes. You're still in the glass case at the bottom. You don't even get to look at the prizes on the wall yet. That you're going to need at least a trillion tickets for. I remember my mind got blown when there was like one summer when they transitioned from counting your tickets individually to weighing them in bulk.
What?
Do you remember that?
No, I didn't go to Chuck E. Cheese that often.
Okay, well, I was trash and we went to Chuck E. Cheese. Initially, you'd get your tickets and you'd walk up to the counter like a G. That's what they say. And you walk up and you hand it to the ticket barista, and they count the tickets, and they used to just count them by hand. And then at some point, the technology advanced and they would put it into like a bucket and then just weigh it.
Wow.
Which I suppose makes sense because presumably they know the weight of each ticket and they could easily calculate that.
Not if you're me.
But it's like, okay, this is not how it should work. You're taking out all of the fun of me standing here and watching you do math while I decide whether I want the clear bouncy ball that has a little dinosaur in it.
Ooh.
Or one of the sticky hands that only lasts like 12 hours before it gets pubes and dirt all in it.
Right, you gotta go long term. You gotta go with the ball.
I'll get pubes on that too.
Fair.
Because those were also suspiciously sticky for some reason.
Everything from Chuck E. Cheese is suspiciously sticky.
Anyway, yeah, the company officials have apparently negotiated with vendors to shred the unused tickets for a price of $2.28 million. What? I don't even understand how does it cost that much money to shred tickets?
I don't know. There's like the shredding industry is like a whole thing. It's a thing that I barely know anything about, but I know it's there. And I know that there's a truck that comes by once a week outside of my apartment that is like for shredding stuff. And it seems very intense. And I'm like, why can't you just like use scissors? I don't know.
What did they do with the tickets before? Did they not shred them anyway?
I mean, they were probably like soggy from children's saliva at that point. They just like disintegrate.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But it is. So it cost them $2.25 million to shred these 7 billion prize tickets, which is about $1 million less than the cost of the prizes that they would have spent had those tickets been cashed in. Basically, if those 7 billion tickets had been in circulation in the Chuck E. Cheese economy, mm-hmm. Chuck E. Cheese would have had to pay about $3.2 million in prizes.
Wow.
in like stuffed animals and rubber balls.
Wow.
But now they can't. Next! Wildlife officials in New Mexico are stumped after hundreds of thousands of migratory birds have started to drop dead from the sky.
No.
Just not a great sign. There are so many apocalyptic things happening that like the most frightening ones are barely scratching the surface. I feel like this happens pretty often, though.
I did notice a lot of like dead baby birds on the sidewalk this year, but I realize it's just because I'm in a neighborhood with more trees than I was before. Is that relatable?
I truly don't know how to respond to that.
It's been upsetting. So this one hits hard.
I feel like I've been outside a fair amount just in my life, and I don't think I see that many dead birds. So it might
be. Well, I walk a dog, so I'm like constantly looking at the ground because I'm looking to make sure that he's not going to like eat anything. And then I've just like noticed all these like dead baby birds. Not now. It was like earlier in the spring.
Fair.
Anyway, it's fine. So let's talk about more dead birds. What's happening?
The point
here
is there's a lot of dead birds, too many dead birds. And according to a professor at New Mexico State University's Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Conservation Ecology, yeah. Not to brag, but I said that all perfectly.
You really did. It was impressive.
She speculated that the death toll could be in the hundreds of thousands, if not millions. And they don't know why. I mean, probably because half of the United States is literally on fire.
Yep.
This professor was like, yeah, it's probably because the wildfires are causing a drought, and it's also been like unseasonably cold in certain parts of New Mexico, which is like also global warming. Okay.
And that's my favorite 45-ism. It's like, well, it's cold, so what does that mean about global warming?
Yeah, that's literally like third grade science that some dumbass, the one kid who like got a pencil eraser stuck up his nose and had to be taken to the nurse so that she can tell him to like hold one nostril and blow. That is the type of logic that that child was using. And that's what the president is saying. Well, it can't be global warming if it's cold outside. Shut the fuck up, okay? You're a grown-ass man. This is like a Snapple fact, okay? This is what we need to be slapping this science information on the back of like McDonald's wrappers so this motherfucker will learn what the truth is.
Amen.
Anyway, shout out to all these dead birds. Oh, yeah. They are asking to report any dead bird sightings in your area using their online database and to collect dead birds when possible so that researchers can study them more closely. So,
new quarantine hobby. Remember Pokemon Go?
That's basically Pokemon Go.
It's basically Pokemon Go.
Next, birds aren't the only things falling from the sky in New Mexico, because strong winds along Route 66 in Albuquerque sent a porta potty flying down a busy intersection. Yeah, this was in the AP.
There's actually not enough news, so I'm glad that the AP covered this.
What else is happening in the world right now? Nothing except flying porta potties. Mm-hmm.
Was it full?
I assume all porta potties are full of a little shit. Oh, do they get cleaned?
Yeah.
Or is it just like, this one's full? Better throw it away.
No, they get cleaned. A truck comes by and sucks all the shit in them. That shit goes into the truck. I don't know what happens after that, but
I feel sick even talking about porta potties. I know.
The camp that I went to growing up, there was like a couple of units that I was in that you sleep in like these big army tents and then you use the porta potty all summer. And then the Metro Man is what we called him. And he'd come driving down to our unit and suck all the poop into his truck. And we'd sing Metro, Metro Man. And the smell was absolutely intoxicating. Absolutely disgusting. So, you know,
I don't even like, nothing makes me angrier than someone who has an event and they're like, yeah, but we got the fancy porta potties. Shut the fuck up. Okay. There's no such thing. Just because you put a vase with flowers in the corner and then blasted this shit with Febreze, doesn't mean that I'm not standing in a box of shit. Yeah, this porta potty was flying down the famous Route 66, which is like a bunch of songs have been written about it. That's like what the pioneers used to venture west. So frankly, I think this porta potty was just trying to follow its dreams.
Yeah.
Or participate in Manifest Destiny. And finally, the auction house Christie's announced that it would be selling Stan, one of the world's largest T-Rex skeletons this year. And the only reason I include... Well, okay, there's a few facts about this that fucked me up. One, the skeleton, it's 67 million years old.
What? That's so many years.
It's a lot of years and I don't like thinking about it.
I kind of like it because I'm just like, yes, bring it on. Let this be over, you know?
But
I'm fine. I'm healthy. I'm in a good place.
I'm sure. I mean, there was some tweet from like a dad who said his little daughter asked him like why they couldn't see the sun in California. And he was like, well, because there's the fire that's blocking out the sun right now. And she was like, isn't this how the dinosaurs died? Which is super fun and super cool.
Oh, I love that. We're all just a little blip on this little earth, you know, and Jeremy Bear Me, all that jazz.
And then the other fact that fucked me up is that apparently this T-Rex measures 40 feet long and 13 feet high, which doesn't seem big enough to me.
I mean, like
13 feet high? That's only two of me.
Oh.
This thing measures like two mats by like 5.5 mats. 6.5.
Okay.
It's big for like a lizard, but for a dinosaur, I'm just like, no. I've seen the documentaries. I've seen Jurassic Park, and that T-Rex was bigger. Anyway, the auction house said that it is worth at least $8 million, which also doesn't seem like enough.
Oh my God.
Don't they sell like something that Banksy like wiped his ass with and it sells for like $70 million? And this is a 67 million year old fossil of a T-Rex and it's only worth $8 million? I don't understand money. Clearly. I'm so confused about these valuations.
I don't get it.
Some TikTok star could probably buy this T-Rex and just have a T-Rex. That's the world we're living in. I'm just saying, I think T-Rexes should be expensive enough that a TikTok star couldn't afford it.
Is that too much to ask?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
And that's it for this week's Worst Things First. Next, we're saying goodbye to summer.
Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive.
Deep dive.
Deep dive. Deep dive.
Well, this week officially marks the beginning of fall, which normally I'd be ecstatic about. You know, just guzzling some chai lattes and in a chunky Chris Evans sweater with a Lenny Kravitz-sized accent scarf wrapped around my neck, just carving my apples and bobbing for pumpkins, just all of it. But this year, I'm clutching onto summer, like Karen Pence clutching her pearls when she sees that Mike Pence is having a meeting with one other woman, because that is not allowed. She does not like that. She has to shut that down real fast.
No, no, mother. No, no.
But I don't want to say goodbye to summer, mostly because it feels like yesterday was February and summer didn't even happen. But also because I don't know if I'm strong enough for the days to get shorter and darker. Okay? Seasonal affective disorder is about to beat my firm, juicy ass. And I like a little spanking. But nothing like what Mr. Wintertime Depression is about to serve me. I don't think I'm ready.
Mm-mm.
So today's deep dive is a hate letter to the summer we lost and all the things that could have been.
As we go on, we remember all the times we didn't have together.
First! Everybody knows I am queen of showing off my thighs. And guess what? I didn't get to show my thighs publicly nearly enough this summer. And now
on
it's
Instagram,
fall.
Yes.
Well, I've been forced.
Out in the world? No.
Yeah. And now it's fall and the temperature is dropping and I have to put these babies in storage? I don't think so.
I mean, Matt, you could be like one of those cool Chicago kids who just like for some reason wear shorts all winter.
Okay, what? Basketball shorts and and white socks with a little
Absolutely.
Yellow ring around the top from how much
every Midwestern
I've sweat
high
into
school
them.
Has one.
And I just slide them into my Velcro sandals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. But if you think I'm posting too much thigh content on Instagram, which I have been, just know it's only because I haven't been able to go to the restaurants or the gay bars or the sidelines at the marathon where I was going to cheer on my hot husband, who's a runner who keeps it tight year round. I was gonna wear my short shorts to all of those places, but I couldn't. And yes, in this reality, COVID is responsible for me not finding and marrying my hot marathon running husband, which would have probably happened.
Absolutely.
It would have happened this summer and it didn't. So thanks a lot, bitch. Next, I couldn't set up my Matt's Hard Lemonade stand.
Ugh, a huge wasted business opportunity.
I had such high hopes for starting my small business that's never been done before. Homemade lemonade, but with alcohol in it.
Oh my God.
I had a proprietary lemonade mix of Kool-Aid water and vodka and tequila, actually. Also, I couldn't get into tequila this year. This was supposed to be the year I got very into making margaritas and doing shots of mezcal. And I could have, but now what? Now, am I supposed to drink a pumpkin spice margarita? If you think I'm going to drink a pumpkin spice marg, you can take your Toyota Zoolander hybrid, drive on down to Target, roll up your little live, laugh, love sign, and fuck yourself with it.
I've got a bottle of mezcal over here, Matt. You live a 15-minute walk away. You just come on over.
I do. I've thought about getting into tequila, but now I feel like it's too late. Tequila is like not a winter drink or a fall drink.
It is better in the summertime. You're not wrong.
But I heard that tequila is like the healthiest drink that you can of the alcohols.
I'm not drinking for the health of it.
Also this year, I couldn't debut my Speedo. Could this have been the year that I went fully balls out and put my junk in a banana hammock for the whole world to see? Could this have been the summer that I wore my version of the Paris Hilton bikini from the Carl's Jr. ad, where she fucks a hamburger on top of a car in a suburban driveway?
Oh, simpler times.
I guess we'll never know. Do you remember that ad? I used to think that
obviously,
ad was so hot.
Burned into my brain.
And I probably realized it was because of the burger and not the woman.
Yeah. Also, like, not a Speedo, but I have so many tank tops and shirts that I didn't get to wear. Also, like, little summer dresses that, like I'm not going to wear that stuff in my apartment. I want to wear it out and about, and I didn't get to do any of that. And now I have to, like, put it in a sad box under the bed.
I've worn the same, like, 5 shirts for the past 6 months.
Absolutely.
I could easily get rid of almost everything else in my closet, and it would be fine. what else have I given up? Oh, I couldn't judgmentally strut down the street with an iced coffee melting in my hands, staring at heterosexual passersby who take up 95% of the sidewalk with their Reeboks and their Champion sweatshirts.
Is that a dig at me?
It might as well be.
I don't wear Reeboks, I wear Converse.
I had to spend the entire summer avoiding sidewalks for this very reason. And let's be clear, because you might be thinking, well, why couldn't you have done your judgment on the sidewalk with your iced coffee? No, I can't pass judgment while I'm wearing a mask. You need to be able to fully see my scowling face. And I need to be able to sip the iced coffee after the scowl. It's a delicate ritual that sadly had to be sacrificed because I wear my mask when I go outside.
Pour a little coffee out for that moment.
I'm not going to waste iced coffee that's homophobic. If I have some old hot coffee, then sure, I'll pour that out. But otherwise, you shut your mouth.
I'm so sorry. I'm in the wrong.
I also didn't get to take my summer vacation to that island in Greece where Mamma Mia happened.
Oh, it's all I want.
I was going to make a pilgrimage to that holy site and honor Meryl Streep by getting raw dogged by 3 hot strangers in one afternoon and then wondering which one got me pregnant. But I couldn't.
The literal dream.
Absolute legend. That woman who inspired that story. Real true life story. Her name? Mother Teresa.
Oh, you're going to hell.
Apparently she was mean. We don't have to get into that. Next. I couldn't sell any of my pies at the state fair. I was going to win the pie baking championship, and then I was going to win the pie eating championship.
Wow.
And then I was going to walk home and go into my family room and slap those ribbons down and say, look at this, Dad. Now what do you have to say? You said I would amount to nothing. And then I would take the $20 prize money and I would go out and I would spend it on sweet potato fries. Because I need something healthy after eating all that pie.
And a ticket to that island in Greece.
Yeah, because tickets are very cheap right now.
Yeah, it works out great. I am planning on spending the fall and winter making pies so that by next summer I am the best. I did, in fact, pre-order a cookbook today that I'm very excited about because the pie place where I got my pie on my birthday, Petey's Pie, they're coming out with a pie cookbook.
Ooh. What else? I couldn't get drunk at the back of a crowded restaurant and then unbutton my pants under the table to make room for dessert and then forget that I unbutton them when I stand up to leave and walk out of the restaurant and have my pants fall down the second I hit the sidewalk while a group of people waiting to get in looks on and sees the whole thing. I couldn't do that.
That's a loss not just for you, but also that group of people waiting outside.
Yeah, because guess what? I would have also been wearing my Speedo. So that would have been a twofer. And finally, and most importantly, I couldn't get sweaty in a too small karaoke room surrounded by 19 other sweaty people and a pile of lukewarm Chinese food, just screaming the lyrics of memory from the hit cinematic adaptation of the musical sensation Cats, while tiny pieces of shrimp fried rice flew out of the folds of my undertongue area. And then afterwards, I would drunkenly stumble home by myself in the warm rain, my nipples just clinging to the insides of my shirt, just chomping down on an Oreo McFlurry and a satchel of 50 McNuggets.
This is all that I wanted from our summer.
What could have been?
That's everything.
My ideal night.
Matt, the amount of times that I thought, like, oh, now that you and I live near each other and, like, we're in each other's bubbles, should I get one of those karaoke microphones?
Is it even necessary? Do you need a microphone? I mean, you do.
I mean, obviously. You know how I like to hold it. I like to hold it up, you know? Like, it's not the same without that motion.
Right, right. Well, this is for the summer that wasn't, but you know what? We will have this summer again. And for fuck's sake, I will recreate summer in the middle of winter if I have to. I will put on my Speedo and I'll get sand right up my butt crack and I will live it out in the middle of my living room. Just you watch.
I would be happy to.
And on that note, that's it for this week's Deep Dive. Next, we got Esther Pavitsky on the pod right after this commercial break.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber.
And I want to tell you about a podcast I think you're going to love.
Who Weekly is a podcast about everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't.
Does celebrity news stress you out?
Are there too many people you've literally never heard of?
Check out Who Weekly, a podcast hosted by Lindsay Weber and me, Bobby Finger.
Each episode goes deep into the biggest Whoolebrity stories of the moment. And if you're still confused, we even have a weekly call-in episode where we'll answer the most burning listener queries.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly on the Odyssey app or wherever else you get your podcasts.
I'm Shimol Yai, and I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest, and they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now, I'm coming back as a judge, and also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, The Competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully, no one will die on stage tonight.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
My guest complainer is actor, comedian, podcaster Esther Pavitsky. You know her from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Alone Together, Dollface, and now her debut comedy special, Hop for My Name, is out on Comedy Central. Welcome to the pod.
Hi. I have something in my teeth. Oh my God. That's so awful.
Nobody would have known.
This is horrible. I regret everything. Thank you for having me. Hi. Welcome to
Hi.
Me and my teeth. My dying teeth.
I didn't even see anything, but so you would have been totally fine. That is honestly not to give, you know, it's a podcast. People just are going to have to use their imaginations. That is one of my favorite things about leaving my apartment with a mask on is I've come back and been like, oh my God, there's something all over my face. And the joy of realizing nobody saw it.
Well, I have like a breath issue. I feel like a lifelong bad breath problem. And it's not, it's not a hygiene issue. It's like the call is coming from inside the house breath. It's like something in my stomach is bringing it out. So the masks and the distance are great for me because I always like when people get close to talk to me, I always like inch back because I don't want them to smell my mouth. So I'm ready for this socially distanced lifestyle.
Yeah, it's working for a lot of us. We like to start by asking, what is one thing you hate that everybody else loves?
Drinking alcohol.
Okay. Fair.
What?
No, that's a fair answer. What about it? The taste, the effects, all of the above?
I've never tried it. And so when I was growing up in high school, everyone was trying it and doing it and into it. And then also when I was in college, everyone was doing it too hardcore. And so I just always felt like left out, like, oh my God, everyone loves this. Why? Like, why do we all just feel like we have to start doing this? And so I just was like, I'm not going to do it just because everyone else is. So that's why it made me think of it when you said everyone else loves it.
Right.
That's just what came to mind. But there's probably a lot of other more like easier options. Like, I don't know, creamy coleslaw. I don't know. Actually, I like that. Damn it.
You went to U of I, University of Illinois, mm-hmm. right? State school, I guess.
Yes.
Because that does seem like I nearly went there myself. I'm also from the Chicago area.
Oh, where?
I'm from the southwest suburbs, so the not at all glitzy suburbs. The town I'm from is called Elsip.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not from a glitzy suburb either. I'm from like a very like sad, embarrassing suburb. I just happen, I have glitzy feelings for it, but it's not glitzy. I know the glitzy ones though.
But yeah, I feel like state school especially, it just has this culture of like everybody is there, like you get a bong on the first day and that is the experience.
Totally. And so not what I wanted. Like the minute I showed up, I was like, I am in the wrong place at the wrong time. Like this is not good. And it sucked because everyone around me loved it and was so happy. So then you're like, oh, I'm the problem. Like, this is not the problem. Uh-huh. It's me. And I made it like 2.5 years. And then I was just like, I have to get out of here because this is not, it's not working. It's killing me slowly.
Honestly, 2.5 years, that's a solid run.
It's a lot. Sorry, my dog. It's a long run. Let me just see what's going on. So, yeah, no, it was a longer run than I'd wanted. Like, I tried to quit school the first Friday that I was there, and it was very clear to me, like, no, that's not an option. And so I tried to make it work. But, but yeah, couldn't quite.
Did you have, like, something in mind that you were studying that you thought could have been a possibility?
Yeah, you know, I started out as a dance major, and then I switched to theater, and then I switched to journalism. So I just, like, never found it. Like, I just kept switching and thinking that would fix the problem, and it just didn't. I don't know. But I, you know, it's like now I'm 32 years old and like have to deal with like grown-up life, and I'm like, God, I would love to live in a dorm room and like go somewhere downstairs for food. Like, now I'm like, okay, I could do in a small town. Like, yeah, that's all I need.
Yeah, the best experience to me about college was the dining hall situation.
Oh, I know.
Because that food was not that bad. It was actually pretty good. Although they sell it way stronger in the like campus tour. If any like budding college students are listening and you're considering going to any school, well, although I don't know if colleges even exist anymore at this point.
Everything's gone.
But they always sell the dining halls as like there are culinary students who are putting together this food. And it's like, no, it's
where
not.
Where did you go?
I went to Northwestern. So I was, that's why I was like,
what year?
You know, I 2012.
Okay. So you're 30?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, so I grew up like I grew up in Skokie, as you probably know, because right. Everyone has to know that about me. I like did everything in Evanston, you know, because it was right there. Mm-hmm.
But that's why I have a concept of like, because I grew up in the South suburbs and then went to Evanston,
so
which
nice.
Evanston I feel like is pretty, yeah, glitzy.
Evanston
and that there are like
so
these
nice.
Giant houses. There was like a big part of college that was like Greek culture that I was never into either, which was just like, oh yeah, people assume that you're going to like join a fraternity or sorority. And it's like,
yeah.
It's too much. I don't need this cult in my life.
I did one night of rushing where you like sit and meet. It's like speed dating with the different sororities. And I could not believe what was, like, my soul left my body. I couldn't believe what I was doing. And then the next morning, I was supposed to go back and do more. And I had like 15 missed calls from all these sorority people that were like, where are you? And I was just like, I'm so out. This is so weird. I remember being like, it costs money. Like, you buy friends. Like, it just was so against it. And I feel bad because I know a lot of people, it can be really great and rewarding and an awesome experience, like, and fun social stuff. Like, I mean, the thought of living in a house with a bunch of women, like, that sounds so fun to me. But I also think that, like, because I had theater and dance and, like, all these arts communities, that it just didn't make sense to me to have one that wasn't based on, like, a common interest. But again, that's why I say college. I was there at the wrong place. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Because if you threw me in a house with, like, 30 random women my age right now, I'd be like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll pay for that. Like, I'm down.
I mean, but your special is features Skokie a whole lot. I was reading another interview that you did where you mentioned basically wanting to go back and be the mayor of Skokie.
Yeah.
Is it the nostalgia of growing up there, or was there something, like, special about Skokie that you haven't seen anywhere else?
The nostalgia, the fact that it's such a diverse area and there's so many cultures, which brings in, like, some of the best restaurants I've ever tried and, like, really authentic, diverse food options. And I love that it has, like, a nice mall. Like, I just feel like it has, like, everything that I need culturally, which is a nice mall and different food options.
So really the most important.
Yeah, and parking spaces and drive-through Portillo's, where I can literally do a drive-through and get a milkshake made out of chocolate cake. Like,
Yeah. An absolute abomination, but I can't think of anything better.
Exactly.
Literally an entire slice of chocolate cake that they drop into an already formed milkshake and then blend it up. What's better?
I would sneak there after ballet class. Like, I would take my dad's car, and instead of, like, going out and doing actually bad things, I would sneak away and get a cake shake and then, like, throw the cup away at a gas station. That's so, so, so dark. So sad what I just shared. But yeah, I just really love Skokie, and I wanna live there. You know, I'm here. I'm glad I'm here because I don't know that I could do my clothing line the way that I'm doing it if I wasn't here and, you know, had access to all the factories in downtown LA. So I think ideally I would like to live in both places. But that's kind of the lifestyle of, like, a 25-year-old and not necessarily a 32-year-old. Like, I kind of do need to grow up and settle in somewhere. So that's sort of what I'm dealing with this year, is figuring out what the next 5 years of my life should look like.
Right. I mean, there's no pressure.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
You'll figure it out. Yeah, the mall in, I guess, in that area is Old Orchard, which I guess is sort of infamous. It's the mall that is sort of the centerpiece in Mean Girls.
It's referenced in Mean Girls. They're not actually shooting there. It's very frustrating. They're shooting in an indoor mall. Old Orchard Mall is an outdoor mall. It's, in fact, one of the first outdoor malls in the country. Look, that's frustrating for someone like me, but I guess I'm just glad.
I can tell.
I'm glad we got the shout out. I want to get married at Old Orchard Mall, but that's apparently not happening. per the groom's request.
Okay. It would be a beautiful venue.
I know.
There are a lot of great spots there.
I know. I think by the fountain.
It's actually not that close to where I grew up. It's probably like a 45-minute drive from where I grew up.
Yeah.
Which I guess in, like, LA terms, that's like, okay, you're going to work.
Yeah.
But when I was last in Chicago, I needed to buy a new mattress for the shitty mattress that my parents put in my old bedroom that I stay in. And the only place that had what I was looking for was at Old Orchard. So I went mattress shopping in Old Orchard. It was great.
So many mattress
stores. They got it all.
So many mattress stores in Skokie, which is such a bad sign for the Skokie economy. There's like 30 mattress stores on one street. It's so weird.
In your special, you do recount a particularly harrowing moment that happened at Old Orchard. I don't know how much of it was actually
I shit my pants? Yeah.
Yeah.
I shit my pants.
That's the one.
My senior year of high school. I talk about this on stage in my special, Hot for My Name, on Comedy Central. I was at Cold Stone with my sister, and I shit my pants. It was crazy. Nothing that had never happened to me before. It's never happened to me since. But I was just a young, hot, sexy teen girl who shit her pants. And then I had to go to Mangiano's and throw my limited two underwear away in the garbage there.
I guess, yeah, that was my follow-up was, why did you choose to throw the underwear away at Mangiano's?
That was the nearest bathroom.
I like how you escaped Cold Stone. You were like, we can't be seen here anymore. Did it happen pre-consumption of the ice cream?
Yes, in line. And then I came back and ate my ice cream with my sister. And when we got home, I was like, so here's what happened. I like told my, I remember proudly telling my parents. And then the next day at school, proudly telling everyone at school. Because I don't want to hide in shame over something embarrassing. I'd rather just tell everybody. You know, it's like kind of a defense mechanism so people can't like make fun of you. You make fun of yourself first, which I think lends itself well to why I'm a comedian. But yeah, I was very proud of that. So I'm really glad I got to say the story on national TV.
Yeah, I would say that I feel pretty confident that nobody would have known that story had you not shared it.
Fair. That's a fair point.
But you know what? I'm glad that you did. And I feel like, I hope whoever goes to that Maggiano's knows what happened there.
The history.
Let's see. Why don't you, we've sort of referenced the special, but tell us a little bit more about the stand-up special.
Yeah, so I've been doing stand-up for about 10 years and 11 years. And so this is like my first special. This has got all the years of that work put into it. All the work of those years, however you want to say it.
Sure.
And I go back home to Skokie and we shot a lot of like documentary footage with my parents in Skokie and in New York. And so it just has a little bit of a different feel than a normal stand-up special. And you really get to see like what my parents really think about me, which I think is kind of unique for most families, since my parents just absolutely have no respect for me and think I'm a piece of shit. So
I'm glad that you're not quarantined with them right now. I don't know if you would survive it.
I wish I was in some ways, and I'm glad I'm not in other ways, but yeah, I want to live there with them. I just need to build I need a shed in their yard so I can like have my own space, because it's a very small house. So I would quarantine there very happily in this like luxury shed that I want to build myself one day. But probably in the house would be rough. There would be problems.
Yeah, they really don't hold back at all.
No.
I mean... I don't know how much footage that you had to kind of film and cut together to get some of those moments, but there's also plenty of them. It didn't feel like you were at a loss for any cutting parental comments.
No, not at all. Yeah, they were themselves, thankfully.
I mean, I loved it, but also I feel like, I think that the balance, which I think you strike, is always like, how do you sort of toe the line between being like self-deprecating and like, yeah, without people having, without the reaction from people being like, oh no, this is far too sad.
I know. Well, that's like the line I feel like I'm always dancing and dancing around, because I like to be self-deprecating. I like to border sad, but still be funny, you know? So I feel like we did a good job, and I'm really proud of how it turned out. And I think that people will watch it and just find it funny, I think. I hope.
Yeah. I mean, I did.
Yay.
Going back, so you have been like the tie-dye thing is no joke. You're like all in on tie-dye, and this is a full-blown company now.
Yeah, it's like slow and steady figuring it out. But yeah, I always have loved tie-dye. Like every time something is tie-dye, I buy it. Like I just love it so much. So I'm really happy to see that it's kind of becoming a part of the culture right now. And I'm excited to take it to the next level. And like, actually, I'm going to be designing everything, but it's going to be made in a factory in like very close to me in Los Angeles. So I'm excited to like up the quality of everything I've been doing because yeah, I would rather have a tie-dye made by a professional than made by a comedian, but at least it's designed by me and it'll have like, I'm excited about it.
So it's not like bathtub or like backyard kiddie pool tie-dye.
I mean, it has been, but it will change to downtown LA factory tie-dye.
Right, right. Which is, that's, you're just scaling up, you know?
Gotta do it. Gotta spend all of your money and lose it all. And why not?
Yeah, I love that it seems like it was a kind of a quarantine hobby that has turned into like a legitimate, like this is a thing, like a full blown business.
Okay, so you know how people are like, I can't just have one bite of the cake or I'll eat the whole thing. Okay, well, that's me with every single thing in my life. Like, that's why I can't even, like, when I was single, like, I could never just kiss or date a guy or, like, hook up with a guy. I was like, no, no, no. It's either we're friends or we're on our path to marriage. Like, I can't just have, like, a hobby of tie-dye. I have to try it once and then make it a professional business. So I'm all or nothing. It's absolutely unhealthy. It's unwell. I take everything and make it unhealthy, and that's where I'm at.
I feel very seen by what you're saying, because I feel the exact same way about everything, which I feel like it's maybe difficult. I don't know how you feel about, like, you do comedy sort of full-time, then you kind of have a hobby that turns into this thing that you will also want to be doing. And obviously now it's like doing comedy is a little bit harder, doing stand-up, but you can't really go out and perform live. So it's filling the time. But also it's like, I've definitely done stuff in the past 5 months where I'm like, is this what I do now? This is my career now.
Yeah. Well, stand-up has always been a career that literally like requires an hour of your night. So I've always kind of been having these other moments in the day where I need stuff to do. And obviously, you know, I've been lucky that I was able to work in TV the last like 4-ish years or whatever. But even those things, it's like, it's in seasons, you know, I don't have the kind of career where I'm busy year round. So I'm really like excited to now have something that's really fun for me to work on in my comedy downtime. So that's kind of what I'm doing, because that was my big struggle mental health wise was like a show would wrap or a tour would wrap or I shot my special and then it's like, now what? And I have no guidance, no strategy, no skills, no schedule, no routine. And so I feel like I'm really focusing right now on building up how to handle downtime, because I'm not a vacationer. Like, I did not grow up with money. Like, I don't know how to go skiing or like go like spend thousands of dollars to just go lay by a pool. Like, that's not in my culture. So for me, like, and I tweeted this once years ago and I feel like it really resonated with people. I was like, I don't know what you do in your downtime if you don't need anything from Target or Whole Foods. Like, what? I don't know what else you do. Really, it's like a huge deal for me to be tackling that finally and like be creative with tie-dye and like, you know, the other little side things I'm working on. So I'm like pumped for this part of my life.
Yeah. We want to move into, we have a little segment called Elaborate, where I have you elaborate on some of your tweets that you've expressed your hatred of stuff.
Great.
I will say a lot of people sometimes have a hard time finding any hate tweets, and you have quite a few. Which is great for this podcast. One thing that you have expressed your dislike for on multiple occasions is a hatred of showering, dating as far back as 2009. You said, is it nasty that I hate showering? And I don't know if that's a joke or if you genuinely dislike showering.
I don't shower. I take baths.
Exclusively?
Exclusively. I have not showered. I have probably taken 2 showers this year. I don't shower. I have a bathtub where, and I actually did recently install like a shower head in the tub so I can sit under it. But yeah, I've always been like this, high school, college. Yeah, I exclusively take baths. I've taken a bath in like a student housing building in Scotland. Like I don't care where. I'll take a bath at the worst Holiday Inn you've ever seen. I will get on the, in that tub and sit my ass on there. Like, I don't care.
That is a bravery that I've never witnessed before. The fact that, I mean, if I were staying at, there are some hotels I've been in where I'm like, I would rather just be an actual like festering pile of garbage than sit in this tub. But you went for it. What is it about showering? You just don't like the, you prefer the bath experience?
I hate cleaning. I'm not going to stand if I can sit. Like, I just want to, I don't know. It's so many things that I get worked up even thinking about it that I can't even explain or articulate. I just don't, I love a bath. I don't know.
That's fine. I mean, you know, whatever makes you happy. Let's see another one. This one, I think it's funny because it is about your dad, who you quote as saying, "I hate everything but Katy Perry." And I feel like this week Katy Perry gave birth. Like, he's probably thriving.
I said that, or he said that.
You said that he said it. If that makes sense.
When was that?
You're quoting
was
him.
That like
2010?
Yeah, that makes sense.
We went far back. Yeah. Has he come around on Katy Perry?
I don't remember that, but I remember that time, and it was when Teenage Dream came out, and it was the mm-hmm. best album that had come out in a really long time, and I was playing it all, like, I remember, I think my parents actually maybe even bought it for me, and we were playing it on the CD in the car a lot. I don't think he still likes Katy Perry, if I'm being honest. I don't think he's thought about her since that quote. But I do remember that album coming out, and it was monumental.
We all have the journey that we go on.
We do.
Okay, last one. This one, I'm just curious if this is actually inspired by a true moment, which was, you said, "I hate it when I'm on a date and the man I'm with says, you don't have to eat the whole McFlurry."
Oh my God, this one is about my fiancé. He always does this. He's always like, "You don't have to finish it. You don't have to eat it all. Slow down. Slow down. It's not a race." Which he does that because he's trying to help me. He doesn't want to hear me complain that my stomach hurts and get mad
okay,
at him.
Fair.
But he does, which I like that he does it, but sometimes I get so... We've had the biggest fight of our, like, 1,000 years together was one morning I woke up and he had thrown away my leftover cinnamon roll icing. And I am so... embarrassed the way I behaved, but it ended with him digging out our outside garbage can. It was so crazy. The way I get around icing is monstrous. So I do, I just, he's been through a lot.
I mean, the fact that you apparently forgave him and are still together is inspiring. Because I would have been like, that's it. So good for you. On that note, where can people find you and your work?
Yeah, I have a solo podcast called Esther Club that's on YouTube and then everywhere else where podcasts happen. New episodes every Tuesday. And my stand-up special, that's called Hot for My Name. And that is for free on cc.com for people to watch.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
Yeah. Happy quarantine.
You too.
Tie-dyeing and all of the above.
Thank you, you guys.
All right, we're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are the good stuff that helps all the bad stuff go down easier, starting with Do Better, White People, where we highlight something good we can do to help fight racism and white supremacy. This week, we're talking about a campaign from Vote Forward called The Big Send. Barry, what's it about?
Well, shout out to Melissa, our other producer, for bringing this up. I'm super excited about it. I bought my stamps for it. Basically, campaigning for the election is a lot different this year because of COVID. People aren't like going on doors and knocking and trying to like talk to people face to face about what candidate they want to vote for. And so there's this campaign called The Big Send that's a great alternative. It's a coalition of a bunch of organizations working together to get 10 million handwritten personal letters to encourage people to vote. It's a great way to get involved. You get to support the USPS by using up all those stamps that you bought to help save them. I personally just got the Great Outdoors ones, and they're very cute, and I'm excited to put them on all these letters and send them out to people to be like, please vote. Also, they have a bunch of templates, so it's not like a daunting thing where you're coming up with it from scratch. And they give you an in-state address, so it's not like you're just giving out your address to a bunch of strangers. And you can sign up using the link in our show notes. So I'm super pumped about this campaign, and I hope you get involved too.
Yeah, it's like knocking on doors without actually having to talk to anybody.
Love it.
What TV have you been watching this week?
Well, I finally finished I May Destroy You, and yes, it did, in fact, absolutely destroy me. So I am so glad to have watched that show. I hadn't really seen anything like it before, and I'm really glad that I got to see it. What about you? What are you watching this week?
The show that I'm watching, as of this recording, have not seen it, but I know I will have seen all of it by the time people are hearing this, because season 2 of Pen 15 comes out.
Yeah!
And I'm so excited that I absolutely know I'm going to love it so much. And I'm just getting out ahead of it and saying I've watched all of it, because I will. It comes out. It'll be out by the time people are hearing this. Yeah, I'm so excited. What is your non-TV chaser?
This is shocking to everyone, mostly to myself.
Oh, no.
My chaser this week is a sport that I am enjoying playing, and that sport is tennis.
Oh.
So Alex's family are all very good tennis players. Like, his parents play tennis all the time. And last summer, his mom gave me some pointers. Like, I have never taken tennis before. I have never played in my life. But she showed me those pointers, and then throughout the year, I've been just, like, hitting a ball against the wall at, like, several of the handball courts in New York. And I've been really enjoying it, and then we were in New Hampshire visiting his parents, and I played a game of doubles with them. I played two games. And like at the end, I still wanted to play more. I have never in my life wanted to continue sporting ever. I've never even wanted to start playing a sport. So
this
was
disgusting.
I know, but I'm loving it. It's been really fun. I might even take up lessons. We'll see. We'll see. I don't know.
I don't even
own a tennis skirt yet.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you wear one of those like sports skirts?
No, spurts, I absolutely whatever they call need, them? I need to get fully in character for it. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah,
that
a visor, all of mm-hmm. that.
Oh my God. So yeah. Also, I don't know if other people in New York, I don't know if you know this, PSA. It used to be that you had to have a permit. You had to like pay for a permit to play on the New York tennis courts. But because of COVID, they suspended that. So you don't need a permit to play tennis right now. I went to the Fort Greene Park tennis courts and was able to actually play, and it was super fun. So yeah, that's my chaser. What about you? What's your chaser?
Mine is, I mean, yes, it's fall. And normally, like I said, I would be excited about fall and fall flavors and all of that stuff. And I'm trying to get into the fall mood and actually get excited about my impending seasonal affective disorder meltdown. And I feel like this year my challenge is to try to venture beyond pumpkin as a flavor. There are so many other fall flavors that are amazing. So chai flavored stuff I'm leaning into. That was really like my chaser is leaning into chai lattes. I made these
love chai cookies. Cloves.
There's Ooh. Never, I also think chai flavors in baked goods, I always want to be good and they never really are. So I'm on the hunt for like a good dessert that has chai flavors. Okay, and there's just something, I don't know. I also don't know how much I like cardamom or if I just haven't figured out how to use it correctly. Anyway, chai, like apple cider, maple, all of those flavors are less basic than pumpkin. And I am about to ingest all of them. So that is my chaser, fall flavors that aren't pumpkin. Because fuck pumpkin. And that's it. That is it for this week's episode. Thank you for listening to Unhappy Hour. You can head to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts. Hit that subscribe button, then rate us and review us. But only if it's nice. I don't want to hear your shit. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Studios. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Melissa Slaughter, and me, Matt Bellassai. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky. Our music is by Hansdale Sue. You can bother Barry at Finkelberry Pie. You can worship me at Matt Bellassai, and you can follow Unhappy Hour Pod on Twitter for all the latest podcast buzz. You can also leave us a voicemail on our rant hotline with your own rant that we may feature on a future episode at 601-600-RANT. That's 601-600-7268. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye. Come little children, I'll take you away.
Honestly, that movie is my sexuality.
I don't know why that they made her so hot. What else?